Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the skyline of majestic Buckhead, where it is a magnificent, crisp fall day where it gets warm in the afternoon and comfortably cool in the evening, making sleeping very easy, which we all like. All right. I have, when you do a radio talk show, anybody that does these things or does, you know, television show, they say, well, you know, every show is important. And, you know, every show is important because they want to be on the air. But some are more important than others, and I believe that this one is, and I'll tell you why. If you understand what your enemy thinks like, then you are able to develop a strategy to confront your enemy and ultimately either defeat him or at least come to terms with being a detente and with some kind of conflict resolution to where you can live at peace. This is what we did, of course, with the Soviet Union from 1946 when Winston Churchill gave a speech at Fulton, Missouri, and said that there was an iron curtain that was going down all over Europe. And that's exactly what happened. And, you know, there was the Soviet Union and the Warsaw Pact as versus the United States and our NATO allies. And that was, you know, we were the first world and they were the second world. And then you had third world countries and fourth world countries. With no more Soviet Union, you've got Russia, which is much smaller and would like to be as grand as the Soviet Union, but they're not. And even though Vladimir Putin has, you know, very decisively defeated Barack Obama in strategy in the Middle East, they're still not the economic or military colossus that we are. For example, they have one naval base outside of Russia, and that happens to be in Syria. We have naval bases all over the world, all over the world. We have Air Force bases all over the world. We have bases all over the world because we are, you know, a superpower. All right, that's not what we're going to talk about today, though, however. Nor are we going to talk much about Obamacare, because as important as that is, and it's right around the corner and all of that, I see something that's even more important that I want to talk about, and that is the encroachment of Islam and what the militant jihadists are doing. For example, on Sunday, 81 Christians were killed with twin suicide bombers in Pakistan. Over 150 other people were wounded. And the suicide bombing was inside the historic church in Peshawar, the capital city of Pakistan's northwestern Khyber province. It was the deadliest single attack on Christians in Pakistan's history, and it sparked protests across the world. All right, that's in Pakistan. But what we have more than that, that's more in the news, is what's happening and still going on in Kenya. The nightmare scenario started Saturday about midnight, about 12 p.m., local time. The terrorists entered the Westgate shopping mall in the Kenyan capital, and were indiscriminately firing automatic weapons and throwing hand grenades. Then they began targeting Christians and non-Muslims. All right, you notice that when they had in Pakistan, the targets were Christian churches. Here, targeting Christians and non-Muslims, but primarily Christians. That's the same thing that's happened with the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood is in their conflict, you know, with the army, has particularly targeted Coptic Christians. Coptic Christians are Christians that date back to when John Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, went from Jerusalem and settled in Alexandria, Egypt, and they have been there ever since. Nearly 2,000 years, and they're very peaceful. They're so peaceful, they're close to being like, you know, like the Amish or Mennonites, although they're not. They're part of society, so they wouldn't, you know, just kind of be clustered. But they do live separately, and the attacks by the Muslim Brotherhood have been to destroy them or to make them pay tribute. That's the only way that they're allowed to live. All right, let's go back for a second here to what's happening in Kenya, because that's in the news right this second. They're throwing hand grenades and firing, and then they started targeting Christians. According to the BBC, the terrorist, quote, told Muslims to leave and said non-Muslims would be targeted. Some non-Muslims who attempted to talk their way past the fighters armed with grenades and AK-47s were asked to identify the mother of the prophet, Muhammad. Those who could not were shot on the spot. So if they, if somebody asks a Christian, you know, what's Christ's mother's name? Everybody knows it's Mary. I don't know them. I don't know who Muhammad's mother was. So, you know, because I don't, because I'm not Muslim, I would have been shot. Okay, targeting of Christians by Al-Shabaab is even more direct, as they have, then Bin Laden, and, you know, it's the single worst group for wanting to destroy Christianity that there is. A friend of mine, his name is Jeff King, he's president of International Christian Concern. He wrote a book called Islam Uncensored. It said, a brutal attack on the shopping mall inflicted massive casualties on civilians and specifically targeting Christians. It's part of the standard operating procedure for militant Islamic groups like Al-Shabaab. Hear stories of forced conversion and point-blank assassinations is heartbreaking, but unsurprising for this group. This is part of their stated agenda to impose radical Islamic law and to purge the land of Christians. That's the big deal, is purging the land of Christians. Now, when you're learning about, okay, this is what we have, every time these things happen, they are a shock to people because they don't expect behavior like this from anybody. But the shock should be, as Jeff King said, unsurprising. And that is, Muslims, in their worldview, consider Christians to be, even though they're part of the book, to be inferior people, and Jews, even though they're part of the book, are even less, and they have no right to exist. And the goal of Islam is world domination. Now, if you're going to dominate the world and have Sharia law and Islam rule, then you have to get rid of the people who are your opponents. That's exactly what they are doing. So they go into a mall, because this is what Allah wants, and they throw grenades, and they use AK-47 to kill people who are non-Muslims. They let the Muslims go. This is what's happening. This is what was happening in Egypt with the Muslim Brotherhood in the time that after the election of Morsi, the persecution of Christians began. And the goal of all of these people is, number one, to destroy Israel. That's their very first enemy. Israel has no right to exist. This is what they believe. This isn't something that's a negotiable. There's nothing negotiable about it. Their entire worldview is based on the need to destroy Israel. Now, Israel's goal is to live in peace and have a nation that prospers and a home for the Jews to return to. And that's what they have. There's 6 million in Israel, about the size of the city of Atlanta that I live in, the metropolitan area of Atlanta. Atlanta's a huge city, but it would be a very small nation. Israel has done everything they can to try and accommodate, and the Western leaders keep telling them, say, we'll make more concessions and we'll have peace. It's not going to happen. And that's because the worldview of Islam is that Jews have no right to live. If they could find a bus that had 50 Jews in it and get a hold of them, all 50 of those Jews would be killed, period. And they would consider that to have been a good day. In the United States, we don't think like that at all. If someone disagrees with our religious beliefs, it's okay. You're free to believe what you want to believe or not to believe anything. But I am also free to believe what I want to believe and what I know to be true. And if you just, I'm not going to bother you, but you will not bother me either. That has been our tradition since before the nation was even founded. When we came here, the initial Puritans after the Pilgrims, but they came with the goal of being able to be free from religious oppression. We don't want religious oppression, period. But we insist that we be able to be free to believe in the Lord as we do. Those of us who are Christians, and I certainly am one. Now, that is a threat to Islam. So Islam, in their quest for world domination, which is their goal. First, they want to destroy Israel because it's smaller and because it's right there and because they desire all that the Jews have built. After that, they want to destroy the great Satan. Who is the great Satan? The United States of America. Now, we are being led by progressives who are fools. They have no clue about what Muslims believe, and they are welcoming Islam as this is a good thing. It's like bringing an infection into your family and saying it'll be good for us. It's not. It never will be. What they want is for us to be destroyed as a nation who opposes Islam, which traditionally we have. Now, we have a president who says, if the winds shift, I will be with my brothers, the Islam. And he's done this. In America, they keep hounding after people to not own guns because that's so terrible, and we have all of these, crimes and mass murders and attacks and stuff like that. And yet, in Syria, he's arming Al-Qaeda. How does that work? Al-Qaeda, whose express goal is the destruction of Israel and the great Satan, the United States. We're giving guns to people whose goal is to destroy us. That is foolish. Do we belong in the Syrian civil war? Of course not. That they want to kill each other and destroy each other, let them. It keeps them busy from killing us. Our weakness, our greatest weakness, is our foolishness. By not knowing that the goal of Islam, of these, and here's the other thing. Well, there's just this small group of people that believe like this. Most Muslims are very peaceful people, and this is just a little small fraction. Well, when there are over a billion Muslims, even if it's 10% and it's more like 30, if it was 10%, that's 100 million people. If it's 30%, that's 300 million people. That's as many people as are in the United States of America. We cannot afford to neglect our responsibility to take care of ourselves and our allies by not knowing what Islam is all about. Frankly, for somebody to be an ambassador in the Middle East or a national security advisor or the ambassador to the United Nations, they need to be asked. What is your view about Islam? What do you think it is? And if they don't say what I've just said, then they're really not qualified to deal with them. Yes, Susan Rice, what is your view of Islam? Oh, they're just loving, peaceful people, just, you know, and they just want better lives just like we do. Well, that's not true, and it puts us at a disadvantage strategically in this world, and it's just shown up in the Middle East that Barack Obama does not know what in the hell he is doing, and Putin does, and Putin made us look bad, and here we are retreating because we either don't know what we're doing or there's some conspiracy involved. I hope it's incompetence. I really do. I mean, you can't help being incompetent if you're not competent. But, you know, if it's worse than that, then we're even in deeper trouble than I think that we are. Okay. Now, the people, when they're running for office, for Congress, for the Senate, for the presidency, need to be asked about this. We need to know. If someone says, if the winds become unfavorable towards Islam, I will stand with my Muslim brothers, that should disqualify them from being president. It should disqualify you from voting for them. That it hasn't is obvious because we've had Barack Obama twice. And this will come up again and again and again and again. If we're to survive, we need to come to terms with the fact that we have this enormous issue with Islam. It isn't that we, you know, if, well, you want to do what you want to do, that's fine, you know, but they don't want to stay in where they are. Their goal, stated goal, that they state all the time, repeat all the time, is world domination. What does that mean? That means if they had power in the United States right now, I would not be allowed to say this on the radio. I would be given the choice, renounce Christianity, accept Allah and Muhammad as his prophet, or die. Now, there are places where they allow people to pay tribute, a tax. You can live, you know, you can live with the Muslims and still be a Christian. Some places, if you make a lot of money and you're willing to live in abject poverty and give it all to the Muslims just to not be a Muslim, that's unacceptable too. What that makes us is Christians, is second class people. That they are targeting Christians is because Christianity is a great threat to Islam. 1,000 years ago, nearly all of Spain was Islam. Then the Catholic kings got together and drove them out of Spain and back into the Dark Ages. Well, the Dark Ages hadn't started, actually, I should say it that way. Right, these are some really, really difficult things, and Islam's not going to go away. And, you know, here I am, I've been talking all this time, and I haven't even said hello to my brother. Richard, how are you?
I'm fine, Jack. How you doing? Sorry I'm late, but better late than never.
Today we've been talking about Islam and what is happening, not just in Kenya, but all over the world, of where Christians are being slaughtered when they're a minority within Christian, you know, within a Muslim nation. And, you know, it's happening in Syria. It's happening in Egypt. It's happening in Libya. It's happening now in Kenya, where, the small fighting where, you know, they said, you know, Muslims leave and you'll be okay, and, you know, Christians, you know, they're killing them. And with the bombing in Pakistan over the weekend, it, you know, in the oldest church in that nation, two suicide bombers, two specific things. They want us dead. And that we maintain this foolish illusion that Islam is a religion of peace puts us at an advantage that will end up destroying our world as we know it. And yet, you know, we've got an administration that is determined to not call a spade a spade. And, you know, the perfect example is this trial that just has ended for, you know, Colonel Nadal Hassan for killing all those people at Fort Hood. They never did call it terrorism. Still haven't. Not good, Richard. Not good.
Kind of sad.
You there?
When you think about it. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Well, go ahead.
I said it's kind of sad when you think about it not only him, though, but a lot of this country is turning a blind eye to this. And, you know, the peaceful Islamic community has never said word one. I think because they're afraid of being murdered by their own kind for saying something.
There's one place where they're standing up to them, and that's in Egypt. And, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood wanted to, you know, they wanted to make Sharia law of the land in Egypt. And the Egyptians, you know, have had peace for quite a long period of time, since the 60s. You know, and they haven't gone back to war, you know, with Israel. And in that time, you know, women have had normal jobs and done things, and they don't want to go in burqas. Now, this military dictatorship has outlawed the Muslim Brotherhood, and they're seizing all of their assets. So this is the one, and it's a big place. I mean, there are 80 million Egyptians.
Well, let's hope it's a start.
No, they're not. That's a good start, but they're going after them. And the thing is since they are Muslim, they know what these people are like, and that's why they are dealing with them harshly. They're not about to turn around and, you know, just let that just destroy their land. Nor do I blame them. Do you?
No, not at all. You know,
and by the way,
they prospered without them having any control. And I can see why they wouldn't want them to get back in at all.
Well, you know, we have an administration that is favoring the wrong side. And, you know, that's heart-wrenching, but it's something that, that we have to live with for a while. But keeping people aware of what's going on is what we're going to continue to do, because when Christians are killed simply because they're Christians, somebody has to speak out, and by golly, we're going to be people that do that. So
we need another holy war.
We're out of time, though. Yeah, we're out of time, though. And, you know, while we're doing it, we're going to be able to root for the Red Sox and the Braves as they go into the postseason and, have a little fun while we're doing it. So that's what we'll have to say. And let me just say to everybody, thank you for listening. Good night. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.